Wow, we've got such a good day today. Peter, that was a great message, the first Jubilee. That whole gospel Sunday. Yeah, only a Jubilee. Next, we're going to hit Latin. All right, so talk to Diana. I mean, I think she has a little Latin in her, but do that maybe Cinco de Mayo. I don't know. But we're in a really sweet place, and I'm going to share briefly a really big picture of that works both in the macro and the micro. It's how God, it's how all creation comes forth, all recreation, all new creation, small and large, comes forth in the ingredients of it. I want to show you just briefly in the scripture. Then I want to introduce, I met an old friend this week, and I want to reintroduce him. And then I want us to position our heart in a simple point of prayer for the Lord to help continue our journey in what he's so sovereignly leading us into. Diana, that song, the new song we just sang, that came in the dark sanctuary when the power went out. We had a power outage. Edison had a power outage. It affected our building for an entire day on Thursday a week or so ago. Funny thing, I've never told anybody else except Cammie, but or maybe I told a few people. It happened in the second month, on the 16th, or on the 18th, in the 16th year, 2016. So I thought to myself, I wonder what Acts 2, 16 to 18 would talk about. And you know what it talks about. Peter gets up and says, this is what the prophet Joel has said. You know, I'll pour out my spirit upon you, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions. And so the Lord was just kind of chuckling to me, saying, nothing happens without power. But in the dark of the night, God gave Diana that song, which is a very, if you can just learn this, get this song and say your spirit, it's just a positioning song right now. A liberating positioning song, freeing from the past, entering into the future, letting go of what doesn't matter, taking hold of what really matters. It's a beautiful song. And thank you. And I don't know if we can, some point in time, find a way where we can record that and like have you heard and get it online so people can just play it, put it up on the YouTube. We got to get it copyrighted, all that great stuff. But I think there's something, we're intentionally believing the Lord to set us so we are hearing and singing and hearing. Because there is, like Cammie said, there's something that happens when you can sing your faith. Right? When you can sing it, you can really start to believe it. John Wesley sent out his young ministers in England in the years, and he used to have three sayings to them. He said, if you can't live it, don't push it. If you can't think it, don't believe it. And if you can't sing it, don't preach it. Real simple truths, but it's when you can sing what you preach, which you can preach what you sing, then faith really starts to come alive. And I think it's happening. Are you good with that happening? Want that to happen? Yeah. Okay, so here's the three ingredients. You can see it in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. I'll give Sam a moment to get that up. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So our new creation, that we now are new creation creatures, happened just the way earth was recreated in Genesis 1, that God caused light to shine out of darkness, which is an impossible physics idea, that light does not come out of darkness. But that's exactly where God likes to command light to shine out of. So go with me to Genesis chapter 1, and we'll go through like verse 1 through 3. I'll give you the three ingredients. There has to be, for creation or new creation, there has to be chaos. There has to be total disorder. There has to be formless void with darkness. It has to abound, because the matter will shift to the Lord's command so simply when it's found that way. Has to be spirit. Holy Spirit has to come and find his place on that creation, that chaos, rest upon the chaos. And then there has to be voice, the voice of God. So Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. Picture Syria today. Pictures that are coming out in the ceasefire, this tentative ceasefire that's holding. The cities that are just absolutely annihilated, bombed out. Would it look like World War II, Europe? Just desolation. That's what without form and void. It is that something was in place, but it has been destroyed and is no longer in place. It's displaced, it's desertly, it's desolate. The darkness is everything from natural darkness to misery, ignorance, destruction, disease. And the face of the deep is the idea of the abyss, like the dark center of the sea somewhere out in the Pacific where these storms are building. It is absolutely unsustainable of life, and there's no life in it, though there might have been. Most theologians believe that between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, something happened to the earth. I believe, it was when Lucifer fell. When he tried to garner the angels and tried to make an attempt to become God, having been deceived through his own ministry of worship to God, he thought himself to be more worthy of worship than God himself. That rebellion broke, and he was cast to the earth, as it says in Isaiah and says in Ezekiel. And when he was cast to the earth, it broke havoc. So once this havoc, this destruction is in place, the next ingredient we see, the Spirit of God, was hovering over the face of the water. Now, in the old King James, it says he moved. The word hover, move, you'll see in the Strong's, is to brood, which is like a hen over her chicks or her eggs. But in the Strong's, there's such a cool word I saw this week, and it means to relax. So think of your chaos, your without form, void, darkness on your abyss, and think of Holy Spirit coming, and he comes and he settles to the point where he is able to relax. Or actually, he's always able to relax. That's the problem, is he relaxes in our chaos. And that's a frightening thing. I'll talk about that in a minute. That's very frightening when he relaxes into our chaos. And then God said, let there be light, and light was. So chaos, all of that without form, void, darkness, abyss, Spirit of God hovering, resting, brooding, relaxing into, and then the voice of God comes. Chaos, Spirit, voice. Now, I have good news for you today. There's only one of these three we have to provide. Do you know which one that is? Chaos. He's looking for some chaos, some disruption, some destroyed. So that's good news, right? Now, the problem that we face is that creation, though it is alive, because it's waiting for its redemption in our manifestation in maturity, is much more, it doesn't move as much. If it moves too much, the earth shakes and we have trouble. We don't want that. But it groans, it's travailing. And if we don't do our part, Jesus said he could call the rocks and they could begin to praise God. But when it comes to God coming to you and I, we are much more fluid, and we have been given a much higher responsibility and opportunity. And so when he comes, it's not as, we tend to not be as, we don't hold our place as well. So Genesis 3, right when after the fall, we find ourselves, I can find out which verse, we find Adam and Eve aware of their uncoveredness that once before they caused no problem for them, because the nakedness they were created in was covered in glory. But now their nakedness is exposed to them because the glory is lifted because they've sinned, and they become ashamed, which is the first sign of the judgment that Satan fell under and what affects us when we become self-aware. And I'm going to look, Sam, in chapter 3, verse 8. Yeah, we'll start at verse 7. That's good. Then the eyes of them were opened, and they saw, and they knew that they were naked. And that's a gnosko, that's that sound of becoming really acquainted with your nakedness. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. First effort to sort out chaos. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, let me just help you with your Hebrew. Mine isn't good, but Strong's is really good. The word sound is the same word for voice. They heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool is the same word for spirit. Suke. Well, that's the ruah in the Hebrew. So all of a sudden, there we have the two components of creation coming to visit with their man, who is now in absolute new chaos. And so when Adam and his wife heard this, they hid themselves from the presence or the face of God. So the Lord calls out, or they hid inside the garden. Then the Lord calls to Adam and says, "Where are you?" Which isn't, you know, he knew where he was. It's really more of the thou. It's more of an addressing someone to recognize something. Where are you? What has transpired? And so he said, "I heard your voice," component of creation, "in the garden, in the midst of the cool of the day as you came in the wind and the spirit, and I was afraid," which is the other part of self-awareness that comes through sin and has been handed to us through Adam and we're born into it. A shame and fear. And he said, I was ashamed, I was afraid because I was naked, I hid myself. And then he begins the story, "Who told you you are naked? Have you eaten of the tree?" So we find the problem about us being camped upon, hovered over, brooded, relaxed into our chaos is that we in our soul actually feel like to get away from God is the safest thing we could do. So we hide. So we retreat. We find some place that we can be in the midst of, the trees, whatever. And we avoid the very one who all he ever does is make things new. That's all he's ever done and all he'll ever do. And all of life and eternity will be making things new. So here's what I want to share. Let me give you, 2 years ago in May, on a very profound day, I wrote the whole vision in the book. I think it was May 7th or May 6th. I had a profound experience with the Lord to come back free and in a plane and joyfulness. And then the next day, which I have not written about, but the next day I went to be with the Lord and we sat down. And the Father began to speak to me about the liberation of the planet Earth, his creation, his sons and daughters, literally. "I'm going to liberate my sons and daughters, for they are under captivity that's like nothing you've ever known, Steve. What you grew up in is nothing compared to what now the nation, the world is under. Just take social media as enough to put anybody into awareness of nakedness and shame and caught and suck." Anyway, make a long story short, I was then a few weeks later in Thailand, and I had an extended time to seek the Lord. And the Lord began to show me a pattern of what he was doing, how he was going to liberate the planet, his sons and daughters, through the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, he had told me that "I'm going to speak to men from the inside out. I'm going to awaken them from the inside. I'm going to call them to liberty and freedom and to destiny and fulfillment. And I'm going to do it in the pattern of Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle." And that is what you're going to learn. When I'm in Thailand, I saw in this study, because I'm being now beginning to see the pattern and the pattern of salvation in the New Testament, and showed in every incident in the book of Acts, has four components, simple four components. One is we see, which is repentance. We hear. We consider something we hadn't heard before. We think a new thought. Repent. Be converted. which means we turn to that sound. If I'm going this way, all of a sudden Jesus shows up in a bright light and he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Now all of a sudden I start a conversation with the sound that I'm hearing. The voice who speaks, I respond. Who are you, Lord? And Jesus said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. First you repent. First something is considered. Something finds its way inside of our being, our soul, that we could not, would not allow to enter into our thought. It's the most exciting thing in heaven. Heaven gets excited every time one of us, for a moment, consider a new thought that we've never thought before, because they know how hard it is for us to think a new thought. Then when we respond to that thought, turn, that's to convert, to turn, then it's even more thrilled because now we're going to begin to make an exchange, which becomes the third component is the remission of sins or freedom, forgiveness. It's something that's so real that when you get it, you don't need it again, for that matter. It's one moment you're bemoaning your life over the course of your decisions, whether you were saved or not saved, wishing to God these things had never happened. Next minute you meet Jesus, you discover that everything led you to this point of contact, and now you're so glad all that happened, lest you might have missed that moment with their Lord. It's total blotting out of sin. And then what that comes a refreshing from the presence of the Lord. It comes an inheritance, an awareness of fulfillment, a calling, a destiny. So in the component, Papa, who knew every one of us before the foundation of the world in Christ, who predestined us to be conformed into the image of his glorified, resurrected Son, Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God, well aware of where we began in God before we were born, quickens us with an encounter by the Spirit of God that opens our eyes to see, and all of a sudden he quickens and awakens that which we were always called to be, but we're going in the opposite direction. Amen. It's hard for you, Paul, to kick against the goads. It's just you're in your calling, but you're in the wrong direction. Get up. I'll show you what to do. It's just such a dynamic. Paul, when he, in Galatians chapter 1, tries to explain his salvation, he has to say, well, basically, when it pleased God, which is a very important thing, Papa can do anything he wants when he's pleased to do it. And we're not trying to convince him or manipulate him, but he's happy to do a lot of things right now. Very pleased. There's going to be a great upgrade today. So, when it pleased God, who had called me from my mother's womb, who had separated me from my mother's womb to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, to reveal his Son in me. So, basically, that sentence could say, when it pleased God to reveal his Son in me. Do you understand? That is kind of a, I don't know what you call it, but I know it's something. Don't know those terms, I should have. When it pleased God, who had separated me from my mother's womb to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, to reveal his Son in me. When it pleased God to reveal his Son in me. We're not trying to get out. He's trying to awaken in. So that sound and that voice and the Holy Spirit, he's so part of that. So fast forward a year later, we're getting ready for Memorial Day. Which incidentally, we got to get our picnic site. Thought about it 5 times this week. Anyway, the Lord said to me, I want you to go study the troops, the troop disbursement of the U.S. military. Because he'd been getting to, Lincoln showed me a simple idea, that we were having trouble in our liberation of nations because we did not know how to occupy the nation we freed. So I went and looked, and I went to my office, but it is crazy. There are more troops in Germany and Japan and South Korea, like 10 to 100 times more than presently in Iraq and Afghanistan. Because the understanding of military is that whatever force liberates must occupy to keep the liberation in place, right? And Jesus taught it the same thing, that you guys are saying, I'm casting out Satan by Satan, but if I'm doing that, then the kingdom is divided, it's going to fall apart anyway. No, it's the Spirit of God that's casting out Satan. And we won't look at that, but that's Matthew 12. And if I cast out the Satan by the Spirit of God, then who do your sons cast him out? Let's understand, it's not a trickster game. And don't do that to the Holy Spirit. And understand that if you get all clean but you don't get filled, then you're going to have a worse situation than when you started. So when we create vacuum, we introduce greater evil than we had before the current regime was there. And we understand that. We see it in the natural. And so I looked at it, and I was going, oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. So for 2 years, I've been not kind of at all, just recognizing that the Holy Spirit is the missing component of the three components of creation. Chaos is growing. The voice of God is increasing. Clarity, brilliance, revelation, prophecy. But the power of God to make the transformation and change is lacking. Last 2 weeks ago, we got together the Wednesday Sunday overseers, who we meet with once a month to talk about how are we doing services. I wrote on my top of my notes for that meeting, Holy Spirit, take over. And then I had all these scriptures about how the Holy Spirit baptism was a key component in every transformation moment in the book of Acts. So now fast forward to last Thursday. I met an old friend. And while I walked and talked, the day was different than usual because the Father didn't lead me in the path of Jesus that he's taught me so well in the last 2 years, who he is and what he's done and the ultimate completion of his work. We just moved quickly through the veil of his flesh, and there I stood. And when it came to the moment of thanking the Lord for sending, after his ascension, the Holy Spirit, and I've been growing in my worship of his coming, it was as though 1,000 pieces of information came forward into one beautiful picture, a recollecting of emotions, thoughts, perception, discovery. It was amazing. I told Cammy later, when I came home, I said, it felt like I met the person of the Holy Spirit. And understand this. I know we've known the Holy Spirit. Everything that we're anything is all because we had to yield to him. There was a time when everything was perfect. There was hardly any chaos. And the Holy Spirit had come and began to say, you can't not deny your heritage. You didn't grow up in church. You were saved by the power of God. You must let me have my access. And we began, and that was back in the mid-90s, and he started to come, and he came really strong. So I'm telling this to Cammy. She's having the same reaction I'm having. Because as I met him, he talked about his coming. He said to me, he said, you're going to have to talk to me about some of the things that have happened. Because they're real. I am not someone who does everything the way you had wanted it to be, but I am one who will complete what I began. He has a flair for the dramatic. He really does. And I'm not even trying to do this, sorry. But Shabba. When Jesus was baptized the Holy Spirit, the first thing the Holy Spirit thought Jesus ought to do is go meet the devil. Give you a little idea what he might do and does do. Just seems to think it's better you meet him sooner than later. So anyway. So as I was walking and these collections of thoughts and truths, things you know and I know, but they all began to just go, and there was this person standing in front of me, before me, talking to me, we were talking. And I was beholding, and I started having such sorrow in my heart because I knew in my own life the distance I'd kind of created to keep myself safe. You know, like in the Song of Solomon, you know, my lover's at the door, and he's touching it, and he's saying, open, open. I'm going, no, no. I just washed my feet finally, got the bed in place, please. So he said, there's only one thing I need of my body, and it is that they would let me relax into their chaos, that they would receive me again into their mess, that I could begin to rest upon, brood, and come in and begin to shift and change. But it's difficult because it's frightening, very frightening, very. So he took me through six things that I had seen myself guilty of in the last few years, 10, 15 years, to some degree. This is a house that's totally like, we want you, Holy Spirit. So we're not talking about like, you know, trying to convince something of something they haven't yet tasted. It's renewing, meeting again, stirring it. You know, it's like, and it's kind of like Cammie said, yeah, you came home and you said that. And I was like, oh, no, because here he is. And, oh, yeah, I brought him home to sit with us. He's going to hang out for a while. Is that okay? Oh, yeah, I know. He creates quite a mess, and he wrecked the house last time he was here. But I don't know. Something tells me I want. And the thing is, in this prayer, I've been praying these simple prayers for now some time. So Holy Spirit, I don't want to quench you. I don't want to extinguish. I want you to fill every fabric, every atom, every proton, every place that you can inhabit, take, and become. And now I'm meeting him, and now we're talking. So he's saying, the first thing that the body and people can do in our religious position is that when he starts to move, we call what he's doing the devil, because it's different than what we know, and it's something that's challenging what we can do. It's out of our control. It's larger than we have power over. It does not fit into our formulas and does not allow us to have control over it. And so the Pharisees said to Jesus, you're casting out demons by Beelzebub, by the devil. And Jesus had said something. He said, don't speak against the Holy Spirit, because, and don't be afraid of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit in your common position, because that would take a very different position to be holding before you ever chose to do it. But basically, the truth, I believe what Holy Spirit was saying is that when we speak evil of what he's doing, we close the door to enter in. We shut the door to ourselves to enter in. So when we agree with this radio program or this person's opinion or that person's this, and we say that is evil, that's not, it's just kind of like it's a closed door for us. Even Jesus said, until Jerusalem, you will not see me again until you learn to say, you know, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, following it, in the book of Acts, chapter 7, Stephen is speaking to the Sanhedrin. Now the resurrection has occurred. The Holy Spirit has come. The church is growing. It's growing so exponentially by the Holy Spirit that he's actually influencing priests to become part of the faith. And so the temple itself is being invaded. And finally, Stephen is the one that's put before trial. Chapter 7, the longest message recorded in the book of in the New Testament as a sermon. And when he gets to the conclusion, he says, you always resist the Holy Spirit as you do, as your fathers did so to you this day. And the Bible says that they put their fingers in their ears, gnashed their teeth, and rushed him out and stoned him. So that capacity to resist someone who's invading your space, your stuff, your familiarity, your tradition, your God-given religious order. I mean, they were protecting what Moses had given them. They didn't understand someone greater than Moses had come. And now the Holy Spirit's job is only one thing to do, is to reveal Jesus Christ. And was doing so in such a glorious fashion that he was just invading. And now there comes that, I'm not going to let you do this. I resist you. Later on in Acts chapter 19, Paul meets the Ephesians, who are believers. And he says to them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. So the Lord was talking to me, Holy Spirit was talking about that ignorance can often keep us keep him from access. See, we're not talking about a rock planet that's got rubble. We're not talking about houses that are burnt down in Syria. We're talking about people that are as broken down but are movable and whose hearts can flee. And now he was coming. He says, look, we didn't even know. We didn't even know Holy Spirit. We didn't know how important. And they were baptized in water and come up speaking in tongues and prophesy, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. So important. So the idea that we can speak evil of him, what he's doing, we can resist his intrusion, his invasion, that we can live in an ignorant position, we're all found in the scripture. And I'm walking. This is all happening in just sovereign introduction. Then the next time we hear of an exhortation to the church is in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, verse 3, where Paul says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now perfecting your salvation by the flesh? Which is a simple idea that we can actually depart from the Holy Spirit. Kind of, got it. Let me work on that. I don't ever think my departing has ever been intentional. It's just kind of, I get turned directionally toward what I'm doing. I start to resource self rather than Holy Spirit to get to there. So we can depart. So we can speak it evil of what he's doing. We can resist what he's doing. We can be ignorant of who he is. We can depart from his part in bringing about the transformation that he promised. Then the next place we hear about him is in Thessalonians 5:19, which is an interesting thing that he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, quench not the Holy Spirit. Everything in every charge in the New Testament, you'll see that is preceded or followed by, get full of the Holy Spirit to do it. In other words, if you're going to rejoice and pray and be thankful, you're going to need to not turn off the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to quench, extinguish. It's the 10 virgins, the 5 foolish whose lights go out. You can't rise up to meet the groom if your light goes out. So don't let the light go out. Turn up. And that's where we've had this simple prayer for a few weeks. Oh, Lord, we just open up every faucet, every light, every access, every door. Holy Spirit, come. You're welcome. Come. So we can quench him. We can make a decision. And I know that I've done that. You know, Holy Spirit, I love you. I want you. Please power my ministry. But can we tone down some of your awkward things you do? Now, here's the deal. Acts chapter 2 is not that he does so much awkward, it's just we are awkward when he gets us, because we get free and we're just an awkward free people. It says that the last days, Joel's prophecy was that he would pour out of his spirit. So he wasn't going to pour the spirit out, he was going to pour out of his spirit. So if Holy Spirit broods into my chaos, when he starts to pour out of himself into that chaos, there's going to come a liberty that's probably going to borderline on hilarity and freedom that's kind of like, wow, where did that come from? How can you hold that place? What are you doing? You're ridiculous to get that free. That clarity, when he comes, he pours out of his spirit upon all flesh. Now, listen, come on, guys. Wake up just for a second. Then you go back. You and I want the Holy Spirit to pour himself on our spirits. He's not going to do it. We're sitting around saying, I don't want to hear a vessel that's not clean. I only want to hear people that have pure motives, walk holy, upright, have no issues, and are in total yielded holy people by God. Yeah, well, good luck. You're not going to hear it. Good luck. I'd rather hear a 10, 15, 500 Balaam's asses and direct me out of my destruction than to not hear anything, because we got them like, I mean, we're like, Holy Spirit, can you hit us? Right there's my spirit man. Can you hit me? Hit me, Holy Spirit. Oh, no, not my flesh. He says your flesh is a bigger target. Come on, I can hit your flesh easy. Woo-hoo, woo-hoo. He's chosen to land on the flesh. And somehow that doesn't freak him out. So that's that quenching. I know that I have, behave yourself. And it's just, he's not going to behave himself. He's here to magnify Jesus. He's here to glorify the work of Christ. He's here to demonstrate what Jesus accomplished. He's here to bring freedom and liberty and revelation. And he's here to save the planet. He's promised Jesus he was going to bring us all home. Well and whole and complete and matured. Okay, but now the sixth thing, the last thing. I said six, I hope. Call what's happening as the devil. Resist what God is, his invasion. Ignore him. Depart from him in your own flesh and your own efforts. Quench him. And the last one is, I kind of just follow in the order of how they appear in the Bible, is in the book of Ephesians, an older book than Galatians, and Thessalonians, which is, we can grieve him. And for that, I want to just take a moment, look at a chapter, a couple verses, and then we're going to pray to receive him. Pray first a little repentance. Ephesians chapter 4, I think we'll begin about verse 30 is my key verse, but let's go back about verse 28. Verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry. Do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. And then focusing, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, for what is good, for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not make the Holy Spirit sad. Do not grieve. That's the best word for grieve, would be sad. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. So the sandwich in between, do not grieve the Holy Spirit, verse 29, it says, to put away from you all evil speaking, wrath. Verse 29, I want to go to Ephesians 4, 29. Bitterness, wrath, proceed out of your mouth what is good for necessary education. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Then next verse, 31. Do not let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, clamor, evil speaking, put away from you. Let me say this to you. When you and I were redeemed and sealed inside our inheritance in Christ, Holy Spirit was the one. He is our down payment. He is the deposit. We are sealed. He does not leave. He does not depart from us. He does not retreat himself and say, I'm getting out of here until these guys get it together. Holy Spirit is sealed to you. He cannot disengage from you. That's why he becomes grieved when our flesh and our carnality and our hurts and our woundedness and our accusations and all these things rise up, and they just start to become the language of our life instead of the language of the voice of Jesus, the Redeemer, the Healer, the Forgiver, the Sovereign King, the one who's doing wonderful things. So we can make him sad. So I come home and I say, Cammie, I just like met season one. He said, you came home, met an old friend. I said, yeah. And I've just been asking him to forgive me for resisting him, calling anything he does maybe not kosher. I'm so sorry for the grief we caused you, Holy Spirit. You're party to every conversation we have. Backbiting, whispering, bitter slander, anything we say, you hear it all because you're there with us. And it makes you sad. And so the Holy Spirit had said, there's only one thing I need of my body, it's just to receive me. to let me in. If they will, I will disrupt everything. But I'll make everything beautiful in the end. I will bring forth glory. I will bring forth the glory of God in the face of Jesus. I will bring liberty. I will bring all that everyone's asking for, but they may not come the way that they were wanting it or ready for. But I will complete my mess. He's like the original Cat in the Hat. Do you remember the story? The two little boys, brother and sister, looking out on the window, rainy day, bored out of their mind, wanting something fun to do, and in comes the Cat in the Hat with all of his mischievous ways. And he makes a disruption of the whole entire house until finally they send him away, he and thing one and thing two. And then they think, oh, we are in a mess because we'll never get, here comes mom. She's coming home right up the steps. And then all of a sudden, here he comes in with that big contraption that starts sweeping up and cleaning and putting the fish back in the pot and everything's just made perfect. And then they're sitting at the window and here comes mom, and mom comes in and says, well, did you have a good time while I was gone? Or were you just bored? And it ends with saying, well, should we tell her or should we not? I'd like us to pray a simple prayer that says, Lord, we'd like to ask forgiveness for these areas that may be a part of us, may not. And then we'd like to receive you, if that's part of what you feel being led to. I would like to lead us to recognize it's Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and was raised from the dead. He is the only reason Holy Spirit can be given to us and live with us. Holy Spirit will not leave because we are completely saved inside of Christ, and Christ is completely convinced that what he accomplished will be fulfilled in our time. And Holy Spirit's the job of doing it, and he delights in doing it. So we have to acknowledge Jesus Christ. We have to think new. We have to consider how complete he is, and we have to turn to what he's saying, and we have to allow forgiveness to flow freely into our being, so freely that everything that happened up until this moment has no jurisdiction over my future other than what it's done to lead me to Jesus, which is liberation and freedom for the rest of my eternity. So it's all good. So would you, if that's something stirring your heart, would you stand? In fact, I'm going to ask you to do something even a little beyond that. If you'd come up to the altar today, and Diana, if you'd come to the piano, and maybe we can do that new song. And the altar for us today will be the place of sacrifice, yielding our life back to God. And again, I know how scary this is. Coming to the altar, you thinking about the Holy Spirit, thinking about the places that we may have participated in making it difficult for ourselves and for him. Oh, I love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Jesus, you paid the price that we could forever be made new. No chaos that can ensue over our life can ever not be undone and made into perfection. There is no charges that can be laid against us because Father Glorif has justified us. No condemnation because you have raised from the dead and make intercession for us. You have glorified us. And nothing can separate us from your love. So Holy Spirit, you who are the one who expounds upon and reveals and makes known Jesus, we ask you to do that this morning. Simple prayer, maybe we could pray together. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ. My Lord and Savior, Redeemer, I believe that he died for my sins and was raised for my justification. You are my Lord. Forgive my sins, especially with Holy Spirit. Wherever I have seen something working, that you, Jesus, are directing, but I see it as Satan and call it such, please forgive me. I do not know anything. I retract those statements. I do not want those doors shut to me. I want everything you're doing to be available for me to enter in. Where I have seen you come into my life, or the things you've given me responsibility for. And I became frightened. And I resist you. Refuse you. Again, I ask you. Please forgive me. I want you to come into my life. Especially my traditions. The things that have locked me up.
Things that have passed.
That are no longer the future.
I want to enter in.
Forgive me for resisting you.
And where I have lived in ignorance,
turned a deaf ear,
decided to live without you,
to work within the baptism of John,
and not the fullness of you.
Forgive me
and fill me.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me.
Fill me, Lord. And where I have departed from you,
where you began a good work,
and then I took it on myself,
felt the responsibility,
the challenge,
the fear,
and I went off in my flesh
to keep doing what you initiated.
I ask you to forgive me.
And where I've quenched you,
turned off the light,
shut the spigot,
closed the door,
said, we'll not have any of that here,
or thought of any of your sons and daughters,
that we'd like them to shut up.
Forgive me.
And Lord, where our bitterness,
our anger,
our frustration,
has taken hold of our tongue,
and become that salty water,
out of our well,
and grieved you,
and made you sad,
forgive us.
Now we ask you, Holy Spirit,
to come again,
we might receive you,
in your fullness.
We welcome you,
into chaos,
into confusion,
into without form,
and the void and empty,
into void and emptiness,
into the disaster of our lives,
to come and brood,
and relax into.
Help us,
to see you,
receive you,
welcome you,
allow you
to access all our files,
all our rooms,
all parts of our life.
In Jesus' name,
we receive you.
We receive you.
We receive you.
We receive you.
Yeah. And just worship him. Just receive the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come.
We receive you, Holy Spirit.
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 Just let him come in. He's coming in. He's going to rest upon. He's not quick to try to shift things. He first wants to settle in and take hold. Let him in.
Holy Spirit, we welcome you, we worship
you. Let him in, let him in.
It's okay. You can be quieter, you can be loud. It's okay. Let him in.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Give it, we're laying it down.
Rises up as drops.
We want you,
all of this will burn away.
We want you.
wants you. If you're on the internet listening, join in.
Receive the Holy Spirit.
Yes, he's disruption. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Yeah.
We are here to lay our lives down.
We are here, Lord.
It is here we rise in faith.
Yes, Lord.
Here we come in all as lost. To live is Christ, to die is gain.
Yes, Lord.
Here we are becoming less because you've become more. We are not here for ourselves.
Come on. Oh, shit.
We are here for you.
Lord, release the prayer language of your church again. The tongues and other visions and revelation come. That they prophesy that our young men see visions, old men dream dreams. We want the language of the Holy Spirit. Yes. You who know us so well, groan, awaken, transform, take all the evil and turn it to good. Wow.
We are not here for comfort. We are not living for fame. We are not living to be known by men of great acclaim.
Just you, just to be known by you.
We have only one call on this earth. To glorify your name.
We can't put up your Holy Spirit. We can't be a witness. We can't make others know Jesus.
Perfect work.
Come.
And give it all away.
There you go. Let him in trouble. Say the battle of Otaba. If you've never spoken in other tongues, just lift up your head and open your heart. Open your mouth and let it come forth in the name of Jesus. Spirit of the living God, speak through the bride. The language of prayer, the language of tongues, let it break open. Let it sound, everyone. Release the sound of tongues. Praise the glorious works of God. Praise the glorious works of God. The great works of God. We release the great works of God. Coming and his spirit brooding and resting upon every part of our being, everything we've been given stewardship over, every relationship we care for, every part of our being, spirit, soul, body, physical, financial, emotional. And all we do is just hand him a key here, hand him a key there, and he unlocks the door and he walks in and he settles down.
Your house is a mess. You are so ashamed. But he doesn't look at the shame, the mess or your shame. He comes and finds a chair and sits right in the middle of it. And he just relaxes. And he begins to say, I'll take it from here. I'll sort the thing. I'll bring it forth. I'll brood. I'll be until you hear the sound of the voice. And then the creation will begin. It is a little nerve-wracking to have this wonderfully complete, full, jolly, mischievous, flair for the dramatic sitting in your house. But Holy Spirit, we give you permission. We need you. We want you. We can't even witness about Jesus. We can't go anywhere. We don't without you. Come on home. Be happy again.
We are here to lay our lives down. It is here we rise in faith. Here we count it all as lost. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Here we are becoming less because you've become more. We are not here for ourselves. We are not here
make it
for
true. Free us again. Make us free.
We are not here for ourselves. We are here for you.
Just lift up your head to heaven. I want to release a blessing. And you're free to go into your day. Or you can stay just as you are. But I release. May Holy Spirit, who is the gracious giver for everyone, every place you are, in the front, in the back, online, may the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead give life to your entire being. May according to the riches of glory, may by the Spirit of God you be strengthened with might by his Spirit in your inner man, that Christ would dwell in your heart by faith, and being rooted and grounded in love, by the Spirit have comprehension of the love of God that is beyond ever learning and knowing in one moment, but forever, until the fullness of all of God begins to fill you. May the revelation of what Father has given you and given himself you in you in inheritance, in calling, and in the power that was exerted to resurrect Jesus Christ from the dead begin to become yours. May Holy Spirit be a person who delights in your company as you delight in his. May you reconcile your differences. May you reconcile your differences and all the hurts of the last seasons. May they be washed away in the new flood of the goodness and the grace and the clarity and the brilliance. And may he who dwells so richly, so completely, so fully, so powerfully in you be the very force of God that goes forward to bring the completion of the words of God, the voice of God, the spoken things of God coming forth. May you be a witness for Jesus Christ here, around here, and everywhere you go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.